Good evening, everybody. Thanks for those songs, Rob. I wasn't planning on preaching a sermon on the birth of Christ tonight, but you made me want to tonight. Some fantastic songs of faith reminding us of how Jesus came to be among us. So I just can't help myself. I'm not going to preach the sermon, but I do want to read just a bit from Luke 2. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, and to those on whom His favor rests." Let's begin with a prayer tonight. Almighty Father, our God in heaven, we are so humbled to come before such a supreme, all-powerful, all-present, and totally holy God. And yet you have loved us enough, so much in fact, that you would send your beloved Son to traverse the ways of this world, to live among us as one of us, and yet so much better than all of us. Thank you that you sent him, and thank you that he is our hope, and thank you that a Savior to us was born. In his name we pray, amen. I thought we would finish out the year with a three-part sermon series that started last Sunday evening. Tonight is part number two, and next week will be part number three. And I'm calling this series The Gift Exchange. And the idea behind it is that so much of our relationship with God has everything to do with the exchanges that take place. At the very heart of the gospel is a great exchange. Jesus takes on our sin in exchange for us, for Him gifting us His own righteous and perfect record. But there are more exchanges that are taking place than just simply that. Last week we saw how that we need to give God our worry in exchange for Him giving us His peace. Tonight, in part two, we're going to explore another exchange, and that is that we need to give God our hurts so that He can give us His healing. So that's what we'll explore tonight, exchanging our hurts for God's healing. In 1972, there was a children's book that debuted, and I will confess to you, I've never read this book, but there are probably some of you in here that have, and if you haven't, maybe your children have or your grandchildren have. There was a movie not long ago that was made based upon the book, and it's called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Now, in the book, the main character, I'm told, named Alexander, as you might expect, wakes up with bubble gum in his hair, stuck in his hair. He gets out of bed and trips on a skateboard. He drops his sweater in the sink full of running water. He goes to breakfast where he finds his brothers have found all the prizes in the breakfast cereal, and Alexander doesn't find the prize. I'm sure you know the feeling. Maybe not of bubble gum stuck in your hair, maybe so. But I bet you know the feeling that some days just feel terrible, horrible, no good, and very bad. Some years feel like that. I don't know what it's been about 2019. Maybe every year has been this way, but I've been noticing it seems as if more posts on social media of people saying, I sure hope 2020 is much better because 2019 has been hard. It's been hard on some folks. Maybe it's been a hard year for you too. But what do we do with these hurts that life brings us when life is terrible, horrible, no good, and very bad? Tonight I want us to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you'd like to look there, I'm going to read it. If you just want to hear it with your ears, you may choose to do that too. But 2 Corinthians 11 verses 23 through 27 is a passage where the Apostle Paul describes his very own terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. In fact, he'd had a season of not very good. Listen to the way he puts it. This is from the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27. Paul says this, I have worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Now keep in mind, the guy who says this was God's chosen vessel. Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus Road and said, you are a chosen instrument for me to take the gospel to the Gentiles. God's favor rested upon the Apostle Paul, and yet, listen to that. What should we do as God's people, as the chosen of God, as His children? With our terrible, horrible days and our hurts that come when they do. How do we deal with these hurts? Well, this was what I read for you was in 2 Corinthians 11, but Paul had already told us earlier in the same letter, back in chapter 1, how he dealt with all of this. And what he did was he exchanged the hurts of life for God's healing. So this is the primary passage I want us to examine and for the next few moments. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 7, again from the New Living Translation. Here's what Paul says. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. Even when we're weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort that God gives us. Now, in this particular section here, Paul outlines for us, it seems to me, at least as I read it, two major concepts that just come jumping off the page, two crucial steps that you and I must take when we're feeling overwhelmed with the hurts and the troubles of life. And these steps are the steps we must take in order to exchange our hurts for God's healing. Now, look at the steps. The first one is you got to call God to your side. You got to call God to your side. I think a lot of us, I know I'm this way. And I know a lot of you are this way. Where it's a little bit difficult, maybe a lot difficult, when you're hurting, to ask for help. Many of us are just too proud to ask for help when we have needs. We think somehow that we can just muster the strength, we can cowboy up, and we can just trudge through. The reality is, though, particularly with the deep hurts of life, usually whenever you're too proud to ask for help, it usually only makes the hurt worse. I know that Herb has shared with me the good work that he and so many of you that are involved in this ministry, in the Grief Share ministry, talk a lot about how important it is whenever you're dealing with the depths of hurt and grief to be able to have somebody somewhere that you can lean on and you can share that and process that with. Well, here Paul confides in us his deep struggles and hurt in life. And he talks about how that, at least, if nothing else, you got to ask for help from God. You got to call God to your side. Did you notice the language that he uses here about God being the God of all comfort? The word comfort here is used no less than 10 times in verses 1 through 7 in the original text. And the word that is used here literally means to call to one's side. It's the same word that Jesus uses for the Holy Spirit in John 14, 16. You may have heard preachers use this word, proskuneo. All right? It's sometimes translated about the Holy Spirit being a helper or a comforter or an advocate. But literally it means, the idea is with proskuneo is to call to one side. And that's the same word that Paul uses here. And he refers to God the Father as being the God of all comfort, the one that will come to your side, that will come alongside of you and help you in times of trouble. Now, I know that you know that. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to feel it and to embrace it and to lean into it. So, in order to help that, let me say that this is not just a theory, but listen to the words of God Himself. I want to share with you three passages from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, where God speaks through the mouth of His prophet to talk about the kind of comfort that He offers His followers in their time of trouble and how He will come alongside of us if we will simply allow Him to. Listen to this. Isaiah 41:13. For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. That is from the voice of God. Isaiah 42:2-3. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That deserves an amen. That's from the mouth of God. Here's the third. Isaiah 66:13. I will comfort you as a mother comforts her child. He truly is the God of all comfort. And He wants to come alongside of you. And we must call God to our side. We must lean upon His help. And it's not just God the Father that is interested in our hurts. But do you realize that throughout the Bible, all three members of the triune God are interested in your hurts and are referred to as a comforter? God the Father here in 2 Corinthians 1:13, and the Son and the Spirit too in John 14:16 are referred to as comforters. He is the God of all comfort. Every aspect of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is all interested in comforting us in our time of need. And He's the giver of all grace that is needful for every moment. So God invites you and me to give our hurts to Him, to cast our burdens upon Him, because He cares for us and He will sustain us. Psalm 55 and verse 2, cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. And so, step one, if you want to exchange your hurts for God's healing, is you've got to give God your hurt. You have to release your hurt. Instead of trying to keep it to yourself and bottle it up and deal with it on your own, you've got to give God your hurt. Call God to your side. So that's the first part. But the second part is maybe even a little bit more difficult for some of us. You have to not only call God to your side, according to Paul here, but you've got to come then to the side of others. That's where the healing comes. You give the hurt to God, but if you want the healing to come, you got to come alongside of others. Did you notice that in the language here in 2 Corinthians 1, Paul talks about how that God is a God of all comfort that can help us in those times when we are hurting. But the reason why that He does that, verse 4 says, is so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. In other words, it's as if God says, when you're hurting, come to me, give me your hurts, and I will give you a comfort. And the reason I'm giving you the comfort is, yes, because I care for you, but it's not just simply that. I'm giving you this comfort so that you will be equipped to, in turn, turn around and be my ambassador to give comfort to others with the same comfort with which you were given. To pass it along. To share the comfort. It seems by this verse to me here in verse 4 that God does not intend to simply give me His comfort when I need it only for my own personal relief. But instead He intends for me to share the comfort that He gives with others who need to be comforted. And that's the way God has always worked. You look throughout the Bible and you see that God is the one who gives all manner of blessing. But God blesses us so that we will in turn then be a blessing. I know that I've seen this to be true, and some of you have seen it in much deeper and richer ways than I have. How that oftentimes the best way, when you're really hurting, to exchange your hurt for God's healing is to get outside of yourself and to find a way to go serve others. Serving others has a tremendous healing effect. In fact, this is what Paul is saying here. And that's enough. It's the Word of God, and we should be absolutely embrace that truth with this alone. But just for illustration's sake, and in some way to bolster the truth in our minds, let me just say that there have been numerous scientific studies that have verified this reality. I was reading an article from psychologytoday.com that was called The Caring Cure. And in the article, they detail several studies that have been done over the last 20 years that show a link between volunteering and health. It has been repeatedly documented that if someone has a propensity to be a volunteer, to be involved in volunteerism, it increases your well-being, your state of mind, it lowers depression, it increases happiness. Over and over again, they've done studies about people's state of mind and the connection between a positive state of mind and the degree to which you get outside of yourself and are others focused. And that's what Paul's saying here. That God, yes, is a God of all comfort who wants to help us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Because that's where the healing comes. And this truth has been repeatedly borne out. I mean, over and over again, some of the wisest people that have ever lived have recognized this truth. There's a Chinese proverb that says this: if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. St. Francis of Assisi, one of the early church fathers, said, "For it is in giving that we receive." The famous author Leo Tolstoy said, "The sole meaning of life is to serve humanity." Sir Winston Churchill, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." Over and over again, people have recognized the reality that when we're hurting, there is power that comes in healing when we get outside of our own hurts and we then begin to serve others and we comfort others with the same comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted from God. Now, the reason sometimes it's difficult to take the second step is because we never took the first one. You can't get to the second step and really experience the healing that is meant to come. You don't have any comfort to give somebody else if you've never really given your hurt to God and experienced His comfort. So these are the two, it seems to me in these verses, the two integral steps that must be taken if you want to exchange your hurt for God's healing is you got to first call God to your side and give Him your hurt. Really give it to Him. And then secondly, come alongside of the others and comfort them with the same comfort that He gave you, because in so doing, that's where the healing comes. It turns out Jesus was right. It is better to give, more blessed to give, than it is to receive. So we must exchange our hurts for healing by allowing God to come alongside of us and take our pain, and then experience the healing that comes by coming alongside of others and serving them in the midst of their struggle. This church is filled with people who do that. And I know it gives God great joy. And I would simply say to myself and to all of us that we should not grow weary in well-doing. Because whenever we are serving others and putting others before ourselves, That is a mark of being genuinely a follower of Jesus. In Philippians 2, the Bible says we should have the same mind in ourselves that Christ Jesus had in Him. What kind of mind did Jesus have? He did not just look out for His own interest, but He put the interest of others before Himself. That is the mind of Jesus. That is the life of Jesus. And increasingly, that is something that is dramatically countercultural with the culture in which we now live. Because people are more and more, all of us, and we're tempted to all be swept into it, even though we call ourselves Christian. We're tempted to be swept into the self-absorbed, selfish wave of life. We must resist that and not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds and be like Jesus. And whenever you're like Jesus and you show the world that we are outside of ourselves and serving others, then there is something really, really appealing about that and dramatically different. And that's how you shine like lights in the darkness. So let's shine and let's be like Jesus. Let's pray that we can do that. Let's bow together. Father God, we are in awe of the fact that Jesus, our Savior, came to this world, and even though He rightfully deserved all of it, He was the heir of all things, the creator of all things. It all belonged to Him. And in a moment, Father, whenever He was thinking about that, when He was considering that He had come from You and that He was going to go back to You, in that moment, He made a choice. And He took off His robe, He girded Himself with a towel, He stooped down and He washed the feet of the apostles. And He told them, "What you have seen Me do, go and do for one another." Help us to follow in His steps and to realize the power that comes to our souls, and the healing that comes from the God of all comfort when we give You our pain and we release our hurt to You. And then we in turn take the comfort You give and we go serve others with it. Father, help us in this new year to be about Your business and to go and do just that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Robbie's going to lead us in a song. We're going to stand together. Would you stand? We're going to sing this song. If there's anything we can do for you tonight to help you in your spiritual walk, if we can pray for you or help you in any way, we want to do so.